for baptism in the month of May. But the baptistry is sort of like some of us. Some of us are getting older, and things don't work quite the way they used to. And some things don't work at all. Well, the baptistry is made out of fiberglass, and it has cracked. So it will not hold water, and we can't fix it. So the deacons and I talked it all over. There is another way we can do it. If we were to try and replace what we have here, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars because there was a lot of structure built in. It was built in. So that's not really an option. But we can get a personal baptistry. By that, I mean, we can baptize one at a time. We can get a portable baptistry that's on wheels. It has a heater, so we'll control the water temperature. If you want to be boiled, we can boil you. If you want something cool, because it's summertime, we can cool. We'll put some ice cubes in there. And so we have ordered a portable baptistry that will be down here in front, or probably right here in front of the, when we use it. And the rest of the time, we'll roll it out of the way so it's not a part of our furniture here in the auditorium. But that, even with something like that, it's an 8-week delivery. So we're going to have to postpone baptisms until that arrives. And once it arrives, then we'll notify everybody that we'll be doing the baptisms, okay? So that's what's going on. So everybody knows. Any questions? All right, very good. You will see it on the annual. It's about a $4,000 expenditure, okay? But that's better than $10,000 or $20,000 back here. All right, if you will, open to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5. And I have another question I want to ask you this morning. Love questions. Get some interesting answers sometimes, but I love questions. When Jesus came to this earth, he came with a purpose. His purpose was to pay the price for sin. We know that because he paid the price for our sin. But he had another purpose. In the interim between the birth, that's what most people think about Jesus. They think about his birth. It's Christmas time. Everybody's got presents coming. Santa Claus is around. And then Easter time, which we have recently celebrated, when he died. In between, what happened? Well, Jesus was a teacher. He was a teacher. He was teaching courses of life for God. It's interesting. I thought while we were having Sunday school this morning, I thought of something that is going on, and I'll just share it with you for just a minute. We'll lengthen the Sunday school class for a couple of minutes. I used to fly an airplane, or when I jumped off the barn, you know, but anyway, I used to fly, and they had a thing even in the small planes that Tim was talking about, called a transponder. When the radar beam would hit the airplane, it would send a signal back with a number that was an identification for your airplane. So that when the guy sitting in the tower was sitting there, he would see this little number come up on the radar screen, a little, what we call a blip. And he would say, okay, that's that dummy Ken McBride. He's out wandering around again. But all airplanes had those. The big airplanes would transmit their number or whatever number they were told to, and they would tell you squawk number such and such, and that way they could identify you as you moved around. And so every time that radar beam hits you, you see that screen turning around every time it would hit you, your airplane would send back that number. Wouldn't it be neat if, as children of God, every time God checked on us, we say, "I'm right here, Lord. I'm right here, Lord. It's me. It's me." We would be constantly thinking about where we were with God. Wouldn't that be something? I wonder if that would change our actions a little bit. Well, Jesus had a purpose for coming. His 3 years of ministry were very important to the world because he chose 12 men to be his friends. We call them disciples. One of them was a traitor, betrayed him, was replaced by the Apostle Paul. When this is part of our study in Revelation, there are 24 seats spread around the throne of God. 12 of them are occupied by those who were the leaders of the tribes of Judah. 12 of them were occupied by the disciples, the apostles. They're there. We're going to meet them when we get to heaven. And they had a purpose for being there. Jesus had a purpose in choosing them because they were the ones who were going to write the New Testament. Now, the only one who really wasn't an apostle, you won't hear him named any place, was Luke. He was a doctor. He accompanied them. So we have the Gospel of Luke. We also have the book of Acts. Luke wrote Acts. He wanted to share with one of his Greek friends what Jesus did in an effort to convince him that Jesus Christ really was the Son of God. We know that because we have put our faith in him. And he is the one who keeps us and he guides us day by day. And he takes us through all the experiences that we go through. And it's not by accident. This is part of God's plan for us. Part of God's plan for you is the experiences that he takes you through. And if you read the Bible on a regular basis, then you will learn some things from Jesus. He will be your teacher. Matthew 5, verses 1 and 2 tell us this. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up unto a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." Okay, he had a lot to say. But he taught them. Jesus was their teacher, and Jesus is our teacher. He's not just our Savior, which he is, but he is also our teacher. Jesus' life covered a span of 33 years. As followers, or what the Bible calls disciples, we usually think of Jesus as a baby in a manger or as the payment for our sins on the cross. And there was another dimension to Jesus that should be of so much benefit to each one of us. In so many ways, we are actually divorced from the actual ministry of our Lord during his 3 years of earthly ministry. The main thing that Jesus did, was to teach. He was a teacher. So what have you learned from Jesus as your teacher? I spent the day yesterday. There are certain stages you have to go through when you lose someone you love, especially when that someone is your partner, because you lose a part of yourself. And then you have to try and put your life back together. And it becomes difficult because part of you is not there. So I spent yesterday doing that. The ladies, Diana and Janice, helped. Amy helped as Berkeley picked out some things that she could wear. Tona helped when she came and got some things that she could wear. But Janice and Diana really did the major part of helping bring things to a conclusion by taking care of Connie's clothes, donating them to, I think it's my sister's house, and where they could be of benefit to ladies in trouble. That's only part of it. Then there's all the personal stuff. And that was what I took care of yesterday. A difficult time, but also a time of learning, of trying to figure out, God, what do you want me to do now? How do I do it? What do you want me to accomplish? Nothing has changed, folks. Nothing has changed. I still have the same purpose. He hasn't changed my purpose. He wants me to teach His word. He wants me to love His children. He wants me to try and provide some measure of leadership. I can't provide it all. Each one of you has a little niche you fit into. And that's part of your purpose. But as a human child born into this world, we start learning from the very instant that we are born. As babies, we cry when we want something. Some adults cry when they want something. And it can be effective. As we get older, we learn to communicate through language. Eventually, we're able to make decisions that affect how we live our lives. Decisions that involve our physical well-being. What do I eat? What do I wear? That's another part of life. It's normal. Everybody goes through it. One of the things that we have to do is we have to make decisions about what we're going to do with the circumstance we find ourselves in. And that's where Jesus comes in. Because He, with His disciples, taught them how to respond to every circumstance they found themselves in. Some of us here, we are in a new circumstance for us. Some of you one day will be in that same circumstance. You will have to go through the same thing we have gone through. But Jesus wanted us to be an effective tool in His hand. He wanted each one of us to be a tool, not just a warm body. And so this morning, you are a tool. Now, whether or not you're in the hand of Jesus is up to you. Whether or not you are doing what He wants you to do is also up to you. We have looked at the Holy Spirit. We looked at the Holy Spirit 7 years ago when I first came. We've in recent weeks looked at the Holy Spirit and the part that He plays in each of our lives. He is the one who's going to speak to you as God, because He is God. He is the one who's going to guide you, that you might be an effective tool in God's hands, not your hands, an effective tool in God's hands. Now, there are all kinds of hammers, okay? I like hammers. My wife said, you know, anytime I wanted to fix a thing, if I couldn't fix it, I'd get a bigger hammer, okay? Well, maybe you can become a bigger hammer. There's a ball peen hammer that you cannot pull nails with no matter how hard you try. There's a sledgehammer that will hurt fingers and toes real good. There's a claw hammer where you can pull nails and drive nails, and that's a different kind of tool. It's a hammer. Each of you are a tool. God has a way of using you, a way He wants to use you. And that's the neat part of this thing. Jesus came and taught, and it was recorded in what we call the New Testament. And as He taught, He was helping you to become the tool that He needed in His tool belt. One of the big problems among Christians is that many times new Christians don't learn from the teacher. As I was going through stuff yesterday, my son, my younger son, lives in Somerville. He started Bob Jones University to be a missionary pilot. And he found out that it was a lot more work than it was glory, and he changed his major. In fact, he never really graduated from Bob Jones. So he doesn't have a degree. I found his graduation certificate yesterday, going through papers. My wife had been saving it from kindergarten. So I told him now he can prove he graduated, okay? Everything that has happened to you up to now in your life has been with God's purpose behind it. You have experience. Each one of you has a different experience in different areas of life. You can use that for Jesus Christ in ministering to others because you've been through it yourself. Now, this is not any fault of Tim's. He gave us an example this morning, saying you can't pull a nail if it doesn't have a head. You can pull a nail if it doesn't have a head. No. With a hammer. With a claw hammer. If you can get enough of the nail exposed that you can turn, not pull it this way, but turn it over to the side, and that pulls it out a little bit at a time. Okay, just a matter of using the tool. Each of you are a tool. In God's hands, each of you are a tool, and Jesus Christ has tried to teach you what to do for Him. Since Jesus is not here today to to teach us, we'll be forced to go to the only reliable record of his teaching. And that, of course, we'll have to resort to the Bible. If we go there, we can get the information, and the Holy Spirit will lead us and be able to use us a little more effectively, because he, the Holy Spirit, will give us understanding. I will have to tell you, I am not computer literate. I do not understand some of the terminology they use on a computer. And so they will say, do something, and use a word that I don't know what that means. Not because I'm illiterate, but I just am not familiar with computer language. But I want to tell you one thing. I hope each one of you are fully understand the language of God's book for you. I think we are coming to the last days. I really do. And though it grates me, irritates me, frustrates me to see some of the things that are going on, I have been frustrated for years about the fact that you cannot make people do right. I can't even make myself do right sometimes. But remember who's in charge. And Jesus tried to teach us. He tried to show us who was in charge. He's in charge. God's in charge. God is bringing his will together right now. We're living in some marvelous times, folks. I believe we're going to see the rapture. I really do. Now, I'm going to try not to be disappointed if I wind up getting patted in the face with a shovel, okay? I'll be disappointed if I don't see the rapture. And I'm sure some of you feel the same way. You'll be disappointed if you don't see it. I'm looking for it. Paul was looking for it 2,000 years ago. But we didn't have the world situation that we're in right now. God is working out his will. And Jesus taught us about that will, folks, because Jesus was a teacher. He taught us some of it we don't understand. I took a differential equation and calculus course in college. I didn't understand that either. But Jesus wants to be our teacher, and the only way we're going to be able to attend class is if we read the book. If we read the book. I didn't do much. I like school. Some people don't like it. Most of the classes I liked. There were probably a couple classes I didn't really like, but I took them anyway. Typing was one. And yes, I passed. I got up to 60 words a minute. 60 minutes a word, yeah. It's more like it. But I like school, so I didn't skip school. So many Christians that I know today, Christians I talk with, skip school. They don't read. They take a day off from class. Day off here, day off there. Pretty soon it's 2 or 3 days a week. Finally, eventually it comes out to no days a week. unless they accidentally go to church one day. But Jesus wanted to teach us. He was our teacher. He still is our teacher. That will never change. No matter how old you get, you've still got the next grade. No matter how old you get, the next grade, you've still got to go through it. And each grade you go through, you'll acquire a little more information, a little more information. And if you're consistent, when you breathe your last breath and your heart beats for the last time, either because of the rapture or you go through this thing we call death, you will be learning something. It will never stop. Never. A lot of kids look forward to getting out of school. Especially right now, they're thinking about summer. We don't have summer vacations, folks. Never. We don't take summer vacations. We don't take any kind of a vacation, not from God. We are His child. He wants to teach us. Because He has something for you to do, something that nobody else in the world can do. He wants you to do it. And there are things, there are people. He prepares their hearts. He gets them ready. He brings circumstances into their lives. He puts them in a place where for just a moment, they're going to be looking up to Him. And then He's going to bring you into their life and put you right in front of them. So that you can take a gospel track and hand it to them. Saying, here's an answer to your problem. I know you love the world and you're living in the world and the world means everything to you, but here's an answer to your problem. Here's what God would like to do for you. And He puts you there. If you've been faithful reading, if you've been faithful to learn what this book teaches, you can help that person come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? Christians all over the world are quitting on God. They're not doing that anymore. They're afraid in their hearts. Because they have been skipping school. I wouldn't ask, because I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody this morning. But I wonder how many of the people sitting in this room have had a devotion this morning and spent some time with the Lord before coming to church. If you have, praise the Lord. If you haven't, we've still got day left. And it needs to be done maybe even before lunch. God doesn't mind our stomach growling while we're talking to Him. He doesn't. But He wants us to talk to Him. And we need to talk to Him. And we need to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to talk to the Holy Spirit. As I started reading through the New Testament, all the places where Jesus was teaching, I was just so amazed. Matthew 7, 28 and 29 says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority." And folks, he does have authority. He has all the authority. "And not as the scribes." He is the one having authority. When Jesus spoke to a crowd, he was actually teaching some truth that God wanted imparted to the people so people could share it. I know most of you read the Bible at least once, but let's look and see what Jesus taught as important. This particular teaching has a name. It's called the Beatitudes. You find it in Matthew 5, 3 through 12. And I know it's getting close to time, but let's just look at those Beatitudes for a moment. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Remember, this is the first thing we're having recorded to Jesus' teaching in the book of Matthew. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." What a wonderful way to start. What a wonderful way for Jesus to begin to communicate with people. And this morning, again, I would ask the question, what have you learned from Jesus recently? Because you're going to continue to learn every day if you spend part of the day with Jesus. Why did Jesus teach this, the Beatitudes, to his people? So that he could profit from his relationship with the people? No, that's not why he did that. Of course not. It was to encourage them and to give them hope. Romans 5, 3 through 5. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and a patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." People, that is the life that God has given to each one of you. That is the experience God has given to each one of you. You're not going to just coast through and have no bumps. There's going to be bumps. That's a lesson. That's a teaching moment. And God is teaching you. I've still got 3 pages of message. God is so good for all of us and to all of us. And folks, Jesus is supposed to be your teacher. Learn from him. spend time with him and listen to what he says. And then you apply it in your life. There is no more power in this whole world than what's in this book. You want to totally defeat the world? Quote this book to them. They don't have an answer. And if they try and answer, it sounds so stupid. Let Jesus be your teacher. Let him have his way in your life. Be a good student. Make class every day. And your whole life is going to change. And God's going to use you like the tool he has designed you to be in his service. Father, thank you for loving us so much, for preparing for us to live here in this life. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ and for all that he did in these brief 3 years that he lived here upon this earth. Thank you that right now he is at your right hand making intercession for each person sitting in this room, for each soul that belongs to you. And Father, open our eyes that we might not be blind to the opportunities that you have placed before us. Father, make us fruitful. Use us to harvest souls. Make us fishers of men. And Father, we will praise you, for we could do nothing else, because you are God and Jesus is our Savior. Thank you, Father, for giving us your word, your Holy Spirit. May we go out and serve you according to your will, according to your purpose, and we will praise you for everything that you do, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.